This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Dr. Bruce Larson is an author that I have followed for years. Bruce tells about being on a boat on the Gulf of Mexico by himself, enjoying a day of fishing and just thinking and praying and being alone when a storm came up. And he said there started to be 6 and 7 and 8 foot waves. And his boat was filling up with water. So he had to abandon his boat with a life jacket. And he was bobbing in the water in the Gulf of Mexico with 7 feet waves around him. And his first inclination was to start swimming toward shore. And he thought, that's what I should do. And he said, you can believe this or not. You don't have to believe. He said, what I'm telling you. But in his article, he said, I honestly believe the Lord told me. Bruce, can you tread water? Bruce, can you tread water? And he said to himself, yeah, I can tread water. And that's what you need to do. So Bruce Larson said he stopped swimming and just started keeping afloat and keeping his head above the water. And eventually, in a matter of hours, was brought back to the shore. And Bruce Larson made this application. So many people want to fall back on their logic, on their education, on their expertise, on their training about everything in life, including spiritual things. And that's your temptation. That's my temptation. I know what to do. Have you ever said this in life? I know what I'm doing, only to find out you made one of the biggest mistakes of your life? I have. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Today, we're going to continue a two-part message that we began last week about spiritual warfare, that spiritual warfare takes place in your life and my life. And we're going to flesh it out with the final message that deals with some verses that we didn't have time to deal with last week. It's in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, but today, the last message that goes like this. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think this will come up on the screen. I want you to write these 3 things down. Here's what spiritual warfare involves. Number 1, temptation. If you are alive, you experience temptation. And it doesn't matter your age, you never outgrow temptation. You know, I honestly think some people think, well, when you get into your later years, you're not tempted. That's not true. The temptations just change. They just morph into different things. Satan doesn't give up on you just because you're 60 or 70 or 80. He just changes the temptation. For instance, sometimes people will say, well, when I was younger, I suffered from temptations of the flesh. And everybody knows what that's code language for. Well, when you get older, I think you're maybe more tempted with the sins of the spirit, like hatred. You may not be tempted morally, and you may be not tempted to go out and get drunk or use drugs, but you fight the temptation about hating people, resenting people, being bitter toward people. And those are the sins of the spirit. So the temptation just shifts from one dimension to another. So the spiritual warfare, first and foremost, in my thinking, is dealing with temptation in your life and in my life. Secondly, deception. We have to deal with deception. Whose deception? Satan's. One of the titles of Satan, he is the father of all lies. Do you know what that means? Every lie can trace its DNA, to use that expression, back to the father of the lies, and that's Satan. Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. Deception. We have to deal with deception. Whose deception? Satan's. One of the titles of Satan, he is the father of all lies. Do you know what that means? Every lie can trace its DNA, to use that expression, back to the father of the lies, and that's Satan. Dr. Scott Peck was a controversial psychiatrist who I really believe he had a conversion experience and came to Christ, and some people question that, but here's what he wrote that was controversial. He believed the number one mark of evil in a man's life or a woman's life was this, and it shocked me because I would have picked something else. He said the number one marker for evil is a person who lies continuously, habitually, and accumulatively. He called it being a person of the lie, a people of the lie. And his reasoning was this: if I'm lying constantly, and I'm telling lies that build on the lies, and they're accumulative, and I'm lying habitually, and lying becomes a part of my life, he said, that's the mark of an evil man. That's the mark of an evil woman. And he said, because it goes back to the Father of all lies. And so that's why we not only deal with temptation and warfare, we deal with deception. You know what Satan's greatest lie is to me is that man is God. God's not God, man is God. Money's God, pleasure's God. Any number of things are God, but not God. And Satan is in the deception business in your life and in my life. The third thing we deal with is discouragement. I think you need spiritual warfare skills because of discouragement. I think one of Satan's greatest weapons in a man's life or a woman's life, and it's happened in your life, to be discouraged and want to give up and throw in the towel and say, what's the use? I've tried to live a good life and what's it done for me? I've tried to follow God. And I remember talking to a woman years ago who said, Randy, I haven't been to church in over 20 years. And I said, why? And she said, because somebody down at such and such a church offended me. And I said, let me get this straight. I was playing a little over the top with her with it, but I made my point. I said, you mean to tell me that you haven't taken communion for over 20 years because somebody offended you? She said, that's right. You mean to tell me you haven't exposed yourself to teaching and preaching of the Word of God because 20 years ago somebody offended you? That's right, I'm justified in doing it. You mean you've never worshiped the Lord for 20 years because of that? And I said, do you realize what you have robbed in your life and what you have stolen from yourself, all because you feel justified because somebody offended you? And I don't know if it made any difference in her life, but that to me is somebody who was discouraged and said, I'm giving up. Satan's great weapon in a lot of lives is discouragement. So you say, why are you bringing that up? Because that's what you need warfare and the armor of God for, warfare skills and abilities to deal with temptation, deception, and discouragement. Let's talk about the armor. And let's begin with verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The reason you need the strength of the Lord is this. As a Christian, you're going to have to deal with things that you don't have the strength to deal with. Would you listen to that again? The reason you need the strength of the Lord is, as a Christian, you're going to need strength, his strength, to deal with those things in the full armor of God. And you know what? I discovered this. It hit me this week. How is it that we get the strength of the Lord? And it dawned on me, just like a light going off. We get it when we put on the armor. The strength comes as we put on the armor of God. Suddenly, we're infused with the strength that belongs only to the Lord. Let's look at verse 14 that says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth. The strength comes as we put on the armor of God. Suddenly, we're infused with the strength that belongs only to the Lord. Let's look at verse 14 that says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth. The belt was a significant article of clothing in the life of a Roman soldier because it held everything together. The sword hung from it. It held a lot of his garments together, and it girded him up so that he was prepared for battle. And isn't it interesting, Paul uses the analogy, that's what truth does for you. Those of you that are married, how would you feel if somebody said this about your husband? You know, your husband's a nice guy, really gracious, never tells the truth, but he's a nice guy. Your wife, she's the sweetest lady I've ever met. She tells lies continually, but she's sweet, she's nice. You'd say, it wouldn't make any difference. Why? Because truth would be missing, and so it is. In your relationship with the Lord, truth is foundational. It's basic. We've got to start with the truth. And what would Jesus say about himself? I am the way and the truth. I am the way and the truth. He claimed to be the embodiment of truth. The breastplate of righteousness is also mentioned in verse 14. The breastplate was made of metal. The Greek word for breastplate is the word thorax. Some of you have been to a thoracic surgeon, somebody who operates specifically on the organs in the chest or on the chest itself. And that's the word, thorax. And it covers the vital organs. And Paul says, your breastplate, your protection, is the righteousness of God. And I know what people think when they hear that. They say, well, to be honest with you, I haven't been that righteous lately. I don't think of myself as a righteous man or a righteous woman. And here's what I love to tell people. Romans says that as a Christian, we have a righteousness that comes from God, that comes to us, how? Through good works? No, through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you get that? You have a righteousness from God that's imputed, it's credited to your account, that comes from believing in God and believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the righteousness that protects our heart, the righteousness that comes from the Lord. Verse 15 says, your feet are to be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Those of you that do any serious running, jogging, or whatever, know the importance of shoes. Those of you that have been in the military know the importance of shoes. You can't function without your feet being covered and outfitted for what you have to do. Shoes are important, whether you're a soldier or a runner. And it's interesting, our feet are to be covered, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I was interested in the word readiness, and I found out it means ready to share. Do you have anyone in your family that you would describe this way? She's always ready to tell her gripes about so-and-so. Well, he's always ready to complain to me about his work situation. Well, he's always ready to talk about politics. She's always ready to talk about the Democrats or the Republicans. And we all know people who are ready to talk at the drop of a hat. And my question is this, are you ready to share good news with somebody? The good news of Christ? And that doesn't mean you have to be a scholar, a Bible scholar. It just means you say, I want to share where I found hope. It's in Christ. And that's where I found forgiveness. And it's where it keeps me going every day. It's not me and believing in me and self-confidence. It's Christ confidence. That's what that means. Well, I'd like for you to tune in tomorrow to continue this message, or if not, at least go to our website, crosshope.org, to listen to this message in its entirety. I hope you know our website has all these messages you hear on CrossHope on crosshope.org. Verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield was rectangular in shape, and the shield was usually covered with leather for a purpose. Sometimes they would even soak the leather before a battle in water so that when a flaming arrow would come at you, which would ruin your day if it hit you, by the way, a flaming arrow, it would go into the leather and be extinguished. Isn't it interesting? Paul uses the analogy, it's your faith in Christ that extinguishes the flaming arrows. What are the flaming arrows in your life? May I tell you what a flaming arrow is? When you're walking along and all of a sudden you're tempted to steal, it's a flaming arrow. You're tempted to do something immoral. You're tempted to violate your conscience. You're tempted to do something that's unethical. That's a flaming arrow coming at you. And Paul says it's your faith in Christ that will help you to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Who's the evil one? Satan. You know, Satan is not some mythological being that we read about in literature, in fiction. He's not the stuff of fictional novels that people read. He's reality. And that's why spiritual warfare is real, it's personal, and it requires spiritual equipment to deal with it. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can you imagine being in Iraq or Afghanistan today and walk around that country in a combat zone and not wear a helmet? Can you imagine how vulnerable you would feel if you didn't have a helmet on? And so it is, our helmet, according to Paul, is our salvation, our relationship to God the Father through the Son. And isn't it interesting the symbolism there? The helmet protects the brain. The helmet protects the mind, the thinking of the person. And it's Christ, our relationship with Him, that protects us. You know, when you have a relationship with God the Father through the Son, you look at everything differently because your mind is different. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We take on a new way of thinking. The Lord is not interested in tweaking your thinking a little bit. He's interested in changing it completely. Now I'm going to focus on the last two, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. Most preachers talk about the Word of God as an offensive weapon, and it is. But the sword was also a major defensive weapon for this reason. One expert pointed out this, that every time a soldier would use a sword offensively, he'd use it 100 times defensively, warding off the strikes and the blows of the enemy. They would put up the sword to block an attack. They would put it over here to block an attack on this side and over here for an attack on this side. So it was used defensively and offensively. And isn't it interesting what it is? It's the Word of God. The Word of God has power in your life in ways that you will never know, get this, until you use it. Every preacher has a half dozen stories. One of my favorite stories is told by a missionary who was a missionary in Africa at the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was a medical missionary. He was a doctor. He said there was one tribe that he worked with called the Buchana tribe. The men bragged about their machismo, how macho they were. They would say that men do not cry, only women and children weep or cry. And he said he remembers removing a tumor the size of a walnut or a golf ball from the neck of a man without any anesthetic. Folks, you've got to hear the end of this story tomorrow on Cross Hope. It's so powerful. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and tune in tomorrow. And he said he remembers removing a tumor the size of a walnut or a golf ball from the neck of a man without any anesthetic. Well, think about that. You got a tumor on the side of your neck the size of a golf ball, and he took a lancet or a scalpel, and he opened up the man's neck and removed it, and he said the man didn't flinch. His eyes didn't tear up. He was just stoically looking straight ahead, did not respond at all. But the doctor said this. He said a week or two later, he said, I was preaching on a Sunday morning to a group of people in that village, and that man who I'd operated on earlier was sitting there, and I was preaching from the Bible, from the gospel of Christ, and he said the man started weeping like a baby. Now here's what I remember. I've never forgotten this because I read it years ago, and he said this, what my scalpel could not do, the Word of God was able to do. I love that. What my scalpel couldn't do, the Word of God was able to do. Able to do what? Penetrate the deepest recesses of his being? That's what the Bible means in Hebrews when the Bible is like a double-edged sword. It penetrates coming and going, and it goes to the deepest recesses of a person's being. Psychology can't do that. A novel can't do that. A history book cannot do that. But the Word of God can and does do that because there's power in the Word of God. And then I want to lastly talk about prayer. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I want to use a great illustration of John Piper from Minnesota. John Piper said the average Christian has this concept of prayer, that prayer is like ringing the little bell and the servant comes. Do you remember those movies where maybe from Britain? And it shows the aristocratic old lady ringing the bell, or the aristocratic old man ringing the bell, and they bring him another pillow, or they bring him another blanket or more tea. And John Piper of Minnesota says, that's what we think of prayer. Ding, 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 God, I need a new car. Ding, 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 God, I need some more money. I need an extra $500 this month. And we ring our bell, and that's our attitude of prayer. And what a dramatic analogy he uses. He says, prayer isn't ringing a bell. Prayer is a transmitter on the battlefield to call in an airstrike. I understand that. It's a battlefield transmitter to call in an airstrike. We need prayer because we're in spiritual warfare, and we pray for our spouse. We pray for our children. And If you're married, the most important thing you do for your spouse is pray for them. I don't care how much money you shower on them, how many jewelry gifts you give them, how many times you buy them flowers. The most important thing you do for your spouse is pray for them. Most important thing you do as a parent is pray for your children. That's why Paul says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Who prays for you constantly? Anybody? Who do you pray for constantly? Anybody? Leave here today. I'd like for you to leave here today knowing that when you face the struggles of life against evil, the strength is in the Lord. It's ultimately not in you. It's not in me. It's in the Lord. Decide today that you're going to be a person who operates out of the Lord's strength, not your own. And you're going to put on the full armor of God. Why? Because that's where the power is. And the strength begins the moment we put on the belt of truth. The moment begins when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Decide today to be a person who's armored and protected by the armor of God. That's the ultimate protection. Remember that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today from Ephesians.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.